Now, Lee has had some interesting experiences you'd like to talk about. I think a number of us would like to hear about them, hear them. He hasn't done much lecturing or any of that sort. He's talked to private groups here in Detroit and perhaps one or two upstate. Lee claims contact with people from outer space. According to his experiences, he's had a number of physical contacts with these beings and some information related to him. Lee, when did you first, establish contact with these beings?
Well, the first contact that I made was on August 14, 1954, in the State Hospital, Carroll, Michigan. That's about 130 miles from Detroit.
Lee, where are these people from?
Well, they claim, when they talk to me, they say they come from the Titanian system, which has 22 planets. And the planet that Commander Markson, the gentleman that I first came in contact with, is a seat of deity for that particular system, as Saturn is for ours. And his mission to this Earth is to make physical contact with Earth people. Now, as a rule, they wear their hair long, shoulder length. And to describe him more closely, more clearly, he stands about 5'7" or 8" tall, weighs about 145 to 150 pounds. His skin flesh is that of a baby skin. His hair was strawberry blonde in color. And I noticed a very interesting thing about his hair, as I observed him, it had a sparkly sensation to it. Now, these people, when they speak to you, they speak in a melodious tone. It's like music-like, flowing from harps to a certain degree. I can't explain it very good. That was the first man I met. Then I met a Commander Tarkin, which stood about 4 foot tall. The Sergeant Emus, he stood 8 feet 3 inches tall. And Captain Bradisham, which is the husband to Lieutenant Mencham, which is the brother to Commander Markson. And he was similar to that of Commander Markson in size and shape. Now, the first contact that I made was back in August of 1954, 14th of August, which was a Saturday, between the hours of 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Since that time, I've had 20 contacts and 7 flights into space. They introduced me to speeds and so far beyond my conception that I'm rather shaky even now to the last trip that I'd taken, which was in September. September the 2nd. The first speeds that I was introduced to started in April the 9th, 1955. The ship came down right out here on Livernois Avenue. There's a viaduct that comes across the street. And the ship was parked some 30 to 40 feet from the embankment that comes down to meet the street. And I was coming home from work this particular night. It was around 2 o'clock in the morning, coming home from General Bacon, where I work. I was coming up Livernois Avenue, going home. And as I was driving up the street, and I got just under the viaduct, my car stopped completely. I was driving a 46 Dodge at the time. It stopped completely, dead. Battery just conked out on me. Couldn't figure out why. I tried to start and wouldn't start. So I got out of the car, raised the hood, and I was going to look under the hood, and I heard a voice from across the way say, "Hey," just like that. Well, when I looked across the street, well, I couldn't tell who it was. It spoke to me. So I thought somebody was in trouble or something. I went over to give him a hand. And as it did so, I got halfway across the street, and I recognized him immediately with Commander Markson. This time, he was in full-scale uniform. which was maroon in color, also the same as his hair, maroon in color. And so as I went up this embankment, why, a cool breeze had been blowing. I got about halfway up this embankment, and all of a sudden it got hot, sticky. It seemed like there was no breeze at all. As we reached the crest of the embankment, I could see a distance away, some 35, 40 yards from the crest, a number of people standing around a strange-looking object sitting on the tracks. As I walked up close, while one of the people, the smallest, Commander Knock, talking to him, he'd come running up with something in his hand. And he put it around my waist. It was about the width of the Sam Brown belt they have in the Army. It's stretchable to a certain degree. They had a belt buckle about so big around, or I'd say about an inch thick. They had a pulsating light in the center. Now, Commander Tarkinen told me that this belt was applied to my waist for the protection of my flesh, my body, against harmful rays that might exist within the area of the ship. Each individual, I noticed also, wore a belt of the same fashion. Each one of them also wore a uniform. Each individual person wore a uniform matching their hair, shoes, everything matched. Everything was in uniform. Everything was in harmony. Sergeant Emu, he was the largest man I think I've ever seen in my life. The man stood 8 feet 3 inches tall. Now, this is my large man to come in contact with. And he spoke also in a melodious tone, as Lieutenant Mensham and Commander Tock and Captain Bradisham. He stayed back out of the way too much. He didn't have much to say. But anyway, they took me aboard the ship, and I'd like to explain or describe the ship as it was. I would say it was approximately 35, 40 feet in diameter. It was circular in shape. It had no landing gears that I could see. It had a ball, round ball type cabin that I was told could be raised and lowered up out of this rim and down into the rim while in flight. I was taken aboard this ship through a round hatch. Now, when we went aboard the ship, I was brought into a small compartment. I wasn't immediately taken into the main cabin, power cabin, and which they set me down in a circular fashion seating arrangement that they had there. And at the time I was sitting there, I didn't know at the time that we were airborne. Momentarily, just like that. No feeling of movement whatsoever. And I wasn't told until some minutes later that we're moving at the speed of 250,000 miles per hour at 40,000 foot altitude. Now, I had felt no movement of the ship itself, that we were moving at all. Slight vibration of my feet, maybe, that was all. I suddenly got sick because the realization that I was traveling so fast, me, a human being, from this earth where I was born, 40,000 feet, at 250,000 miles per hour. Well, I imagine that would get anybody, get me. Anyway, I found out that these ships can travel from 250,000 to 500,000 miles per hour outside of the atmosphere of the Earth. And the latest ship that I come in contact with, which had four rings, it created its own power. For these other smaller ones, they do not create their own power. This ship traveled at 7 times the speed of light. Now, that's an enormous speed. I understand, so they tell me, that they transmit themselves through space. Not power as we know it and understand it upon this earth. They can move without sound because the sound is taken up into power, transmission. Now, on the first contact that I made back in 54, that was the initial contact. That was the initial physical contact that I made with the individual. And he told me that it was 3 days after that, that when a person makes a physical contact with a being from another planet, his mind, or her mind, whichever it may be, is scanned. Each individual brain is like a license plate. They can locate you no matter where you're at in this earth. They can locate you. Well, anyway, I was taken out into space on one occasion to a ship called Trigenon, which is the main carrier for the Titanian system, which carries these smaller craft from their system to ours, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, is some 8.5 light years away from this our planet. Now, it takes them a month to span from the Titanian system, which I understand also is Wolf 359, a month and 3 days to make the transit across. Now, that's a vast distance. I don't know what speed they travel at in the Trigenon. I know that the Trigenon is operated by a cosmic force that is derived from the sun, their major sun, until they make contact with ours in our system. They charge up enough power in the storage banks to transmit themselves across the void. Now, the reason why they're coming here, so I've been able to understand, is simply because they were worried at the possibility that we were on the verge of an atomic all-out war, which would be a very disastrous thing if it ever occurred. Now, that is not the only reason why they're coming. Because the people of this earth have faltered in their faith, the majority of the people, in the Almighty God. And one thing to keep in mind always.
I'm sorry.
Is that we have an Almighty Creator who created this earth and not everybody on it. Now, these people have been called a lot of names. They have been called visitors. They've been called brothers. I would rather think of them people as angels. Because when you walk on board one of their ships, as I have, well, let me describe just one case that happened that I was overwhelmed. To make you really try to understand or realize what these people really are. I was taken out to the Trigenon on one particular contact that I'd made. I think it was in November. I was taken to this Trigenon at the speed of 5,000 miles per hour upon leaving the Earth. I was taken aboard this Trigenon. Incidentally, this Trigenon is a ball in shape. It's enormous in size. We have no conception of actual size as we know size or understand it. This ship, the main carrier, the Trigenon 1 and 2, there's two of them out there. Number two, I was taken aboard. Now, when we entered into this ship, we went through a tunnel fashion. Let me describe it this way. There are six airlocks. The main power of the ship itself that I was traveling in was cut off and was brought in by the Trigenon's power. That would be to protect the outer skin of the ship itself against damage. Now, I was taken into this big craft and taken to a platform that was high above the hangar floor. We all disembarked from this smaller ship, all of us, every one of us. And as I was standing on this platform, I could look down way below. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of ships and lines in order, and the people going in and out of them looked like tiny ants. Now, that's how high up I was. Yes.
I'm sorry I have to cut you, Lee, because we're sort of running short of time.
Well, I'm not used to being a public speaker, and I'm very grateful to the opportunity to reveal what I have.
Well, we certainly appreciate your coming here and telling us. And perhaps anyone who would wish to find out more about your experiences and the information you've received could talk to you after the program. Would you be available?
Of course, I'll be up to you now.
Well, that's fine then.
Thank you very much.
And thanks a lot.